There's a band playing down at the armory. Knows what rock and roll really means. I'm gonna ride in your 55 T-Bird. Drive through some old memories. I ain't after your body, baby. I just want you to dance with me. I'm gonna pop with you, baby, all night long.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on 720 WGN. That's 1986. It's Dan Seals and Bop. It's probably the first time I've heard that song since 1986. So 1986, that song is on country radio, and then Steve Earle comes out with Guitar Town, and that's what we're going to talk about with our guests in this segment. We have the Phantom Collective, June Sawyers, my friend June Sawyers.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us, June.
Thanks, Dave.
And we have John Ballantyne's Crazy Heart Band. Thanks, John.
Hey.
Hi.
And Heather Colmer on vocals.
Hi.
So you guys are doing a show at Fitzgerald's in honor of the 30th anniversary of the release of Guitar Town and Steve's 62nd birthday at 8 o'clock next Saturday night, the 14th, at Fitzgerald's, 6615 West Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. 1986, I mean, there was a lot of strange stuff going on in country music. So from musicians' point of view, what did Steve Earle mean to what we were listening to in country music in 1986? John, Gus, John.
I think for me, what I saw in Steve was what I had seen a little bit in guys like Kris Kristofferson and maybe a little bit of Guy Clark. It, certainly Waylon. He came out and he was not afraid to say, I have some good stuff here and I don't really need that whole Nashville thing. And I welcomed that. I mean, I did enjoy the traditional stuff that those guys had been doing, but in Waylon's words, we need to change. And that's what I saw in Steve Earle, and I welcomed it wholeheartedly.
What were you guys doing as musicians? And as you answer that question, talk a little about what Crazy Heart does, and so people are familiar with that.
Oh,
but where
okay.
were you at in 1986?
I was probably in some bar somewhere.
Probably saw you.
I grew up in southwest Scotland.
Yeah.
Gus is from the other coast in Scotland. We were just talking about this. We technically should not even speak to one another. It's one of those tribal things, but we found a way to communicate.
We had to come to Chicago to do it.
It's kind of true. So we both wound up here about 20. Gus is a little longer, maybe 25 years. I'm 22 or 23 years here. We didn't meet right away, but we did wind up forming this honky-tonk band, which makes perfect sense to us. I don't think it makes any sense at all to probably anyone else who hears the story, but we both, and we've exchanged notes on this, growing up back there at that time, and even people like Steve Earle were not like fully accepted. If it sounded anything like country music back in Scotland, there was a resistance to it. They associated country music with cowboys and, you know, yippee-ki-yay stuff, and it was not cool just yet. But guys like Steve Earle, and then of course the Eagles, and all of that happened, and then suddenly, you know, Grant Parsons, even that whole trip happened, and but we'd run away by then.
Well, it's interesting because I know June can talk about this because we have some shared things. I mean, there was a whole group of people who came to Chicago in the 80s, early 80s. You know, they were attracted here because of the Steve Goodman, John Prine
Absolutely.
Stuff. And you came here for honky tonk, or
no? I the truth of the matter is, I came for work. I mean, at that time, I was raising a family. Life was very different. I wasn't doing music. I was working, you know, 80 hours a week to support a family. So I came for work. But I was very, very much aware of the stuff concerning John Prine, Steve Goodman, the Old Town, all of that stuff. I'm a huge John Prine fan.
Yeah.
And to land in Chicago and be close to all this was just a wonderful trip for me. I even went down to the power of music. Here's the power of music. You know that song Paradise by John, where he talks about what happened to the town Paradise in Kentucky. I mean, even one weekend I drove down there, I just had to see it.
Well, I was going to ask you, that's on my list of questions, because you were from a small mining community yourself, right?
Correct.
Is that
absolutely
why you did that trip?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Tell me about that. I mean, how did that resonate with you?
Well, the song resonated with me because mining in southwest Scotland is just as much fun as coal mining in Kentucky or West Virginia or wherever. And my, you know, one of Steve's songs that we're going to do here in a minute, My Granddaddy Was a Miner. Well, you know what? That's true. And that was in southwest Scotland. But the way Prine came up, and this is what John Prine does, when I heard that song, I assumed it was an old traditional song that had been handed down through the generations. I had no idea that he'd written it. And when I found out this guy had written the song, I was just, I have to see this. You know, so I drove all the way down, and I found the Green River. And, you know, the whole
I went down there once. The Everly Brothers had a little hotel and getaway down there. I did a travel story on that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it went down in a mysterious fire recently, years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that can happen. But John Prine and the Everly Brothers used to do a show, they might still do it, I don't know, once a year in that small town.
Right.
Down there, and I put the whole family in a van, and we went down to see that show. That's how much
good
I was into
you.
That story.
Good. June, tell us what the Phantom Collective is, and then what the setup is for next Saturday night.
Right. Well, a few years ago, I wanted to put together an arts group that would involve not only theater and theater pieces, but also music. So actually, the first unofficial Phantom program was one that Gus did with he sang the songs, Gus Noble, the songs of Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. And that was On Common Ground. And from there, I just built it. And I've done programs on Katrina, Springsteen. I've done adaptations of Moby Dick and Beowulf. So it's very eclectic. But for this show next week, I've loved Steve's music for a long time. And whenever we go on a road trip, we always have at least three Steve CDs. And so I wanted to do a tribute to Guitar Town for the 30th anniversary. And now, mind you, it was supposed to be last October, but that little thing called the Cubs got in the way.
Yeah.
So here we are for now we're going to do it next week. And it's going to include, I wanted to include readings about on country music and also country life and working class life. And the Chicago actor Andrew Rathgeber is going to be reading those pieces.
And you're from Scotland, too.
I'm from Scotland originally.
Did you guys all meet in Chicago? Is that how?
Well, I've been here a long time.
Yeah.
Longer than they have been here. But I met Gus through the St. Andrew Society.
Right.
And Gus is the president of the Illinois St. Andrew Society.
And tell us what that is, Gus.
It's the oldest charity in Illinois. We've been around since 1845, and I haven't been the president since then.
But you're too young.
It looks that way.
Right, it feels that way sometimes. It was formed, actually, very close to where we're sitting right here, Michigan Avenue in the river, and 1st of December 1845. And it's for Scots, you know, who want to remember a piece of home and bring something of Scotland to Chicago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, when June mentioned the idea of doing something about Steve Earle, it kind of struck me that it makes every sense for three Scots in Chicago to do this, because particularly at this time of year, we in Scotland in January celebrate the birthday of Robert Burns, the great Scottish poet, who was really the authentic voice of the Scottish people, and he wrote in a very singular way but spoke for everyone. He became a voice that wasn't afraid to kind of speak truth to power. And in Steve Earle, we all recognize something very kindred. Mm-hmm. So it seems very kind of logical and natural for us to do that. And it kind of struck me as we were thinking about this, Steve should really do some Robert Burns songs. You know, I think that would be really neat.
Well, good. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then you're going to come back and do a Guy Clark song. And then we'll talk about guys and towns' influence on Steve as a songwriter, okay?
Sounds great.
Okay, don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
standing on the gone side of leaving. She found a thumb and stuck it in the breeze. She'll take anything that's going close to somewhere. She can lay it down and live it like she please. She ain't going nowhere, she's just leaving. She ain't going nowhere, she can't breathe in. She ain't going home, that's for sure. She's not sitting down and crying on her suitcase. She has no second thoughts by road. She's got feelings that need some repairing. And she did not give a damn that it showed. She ain't going nowhere, she's just leaving. She ain't going nowhere, she can't breathe in. She ain't going home, that's for sure. And the wind has a way with her hair, and the blues have a way with her smile, and she had a way of her own, like prisoners have a way with a file. She ain't going nowhere, she's just leaving. She ain't going nowhere, she can't breathe in. She ain't going home, that's for sure. She ain't going nowhere, she's just leaving. She ain't going nowhere, she can't breathe in. She ain't going home, that's for sure. She ain't going home, that's for sure.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal. That's John Ballantyne's Crazy Heart doing Guy Clark. John Ballantyne, Gus Noble, and Heather Colmer on harmonies. Do you like Emmylou Harris?
Love her.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Right.
So tell us about that song and why that's important in the Steve Earle genre.
I'll defer to my pals here, but my understanding is that Steve's first kind of break out of Nashville was he got a job playing bass guitar for Guy Clark, and I just have to imagine that helped. Mm-hmm. You know, and he must have played on that song, and I would imagine he sung harmony on that song. Guy Clark, dear to my heart, and I just wanted to get it in there. 2016, another one gone. I so admired Guy Clark, and such a force, such a power, and what a beautiful song.
June, he was a fan of Guy's, and he was certainly a fan of Towns Van Zandt. That famous quote about he'll put his cowboy boots up and say how on Bob Dylan's table and say, right, you know, Towns Van Zandt is the best songwriter.
That's right.
Talk about the influence of like Towns and stuff on Steve.
Well, as you know, Steve did an album a few years ago, maybe not that long ago now, on Terrence Van Zandt, and he's often, whenever I've seen him, when I have seen him, quite often he has talked about not only just the influence on his music, but maybe just also on his life.
Sure.
Because he just, I mean, he looked at his son, right? He named his son after him. So it's on so many levels. Terrence Van Zandt meant so much to him.
I mean, the combination of Tom's music of singer-songwriter, folk, and then deep blues, it's pretty, mm-hmm. pretty attractive stuff. Steve himself is going to be in town. We tried to get him, you know, he's got a gig tonight in Atlanta, but he's going to be at the City Winery on Monday and Tuesday, January 9th and 10th, and then back on 20. Do you guys go to these shows? Back on the 24th and 25th?
Yeah.
At City Winery, and this year I went last year. Actually,
I went last year too.
Yeah, Tony, and yeah. But this year you get meet and greet tickets are $75, but not including the show tickets. So have you guys ever met him? You have a chance to meet him.
I've met Tony a few times, but never
Steve Earle. So, and then your event is 8 o'clock.
Yes,
the 14th at Fitzgerald's.
Fitzgerald's, yes.
What will the setup be? Do you have drums too?
Oh yeah, we're a full electric band. We're gonna have drums. I play electric guitar normally and sing lead. Heather is on harmony. We have another guitar player who also sings harmony with 3-part harmony. We'll be doing a selection of Steve songs, but we're also gonna include some Towns songs. We're gonna do that song we just played by Guy Clark. We're going to do a couple of Hank Williams songs because I know Steve was heavily influenced by Hank, and June could speak to the to that part of it. But no, we want to cover the whole thing, and if we get the chance, we'll morph into our honky tonk selves at the end if anybody cares to listen. But
were you around for the Double R? Did you come with the Sundowners and all that stuff?
I've heard about it, but
yeah,
never been.
That was Aubrey. I bet you were there. Yeah, that was those guys. I mean, they were just beloved. I always believe that gave the birth to the whole insurgent country. You know, I know because Langford and the Wake, they'd go down there and ask them where they got their clothes and stuff when they first came to town and stuff. But that really kind of gave birth to the whole scene here. Where else do you guys play?
It's up and down. We really are a honky tonk band. I mean, we play in some places that you probably don't want to.
You got to tell me because we've lost Carol's Pub, so I don't know where to go.
Well, on Friday night before the Steve show, we're going to be playing at the Savemore, which is on.
Oh yeah, I know that place.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you know those guys?
Dan's been to the Savemore. I know that.
I love playing in
there. We love the Savemore.
Yeah. You can park at the door. You go in. Nobody hassles you. You set your stuff up. You play for a while. They give you money, and then you go home. It's very straightforward. Love it.
And then Honky Tonk Barbecue. You play there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
and
Honky Tonk Barbecue in February. We've done a couple of things at Martyrs. We every once in a great while we get to show off at Fitzgerald's.
I live in the city, and John, you know, we have this kind of agreement that in everybody's safety and best interests, he has to live 50 miles from me.
Right.
So he lives out in Lake in the Hills, and we've booked a lot of shows out in Barrington
We scoot around there, but we've been lucky. I mean, we got to open for a Scottish big-time act, a Scary War, came over and played a couple of shows at Martyrs, and we got to open for them, and that was so cool.
Okay, you're going to come back and do some more music. We're going to take a break with David Jennings in the news, and we'll be back with more Nocturnal Journal after this.
My granddad was a miner, but he finally saw the light. Didn't have much, just a beat-up truck and dreamed about a better life. Grandmama cried when she waved goodbye and there
never heard such a lonesome sound.
Pretty soon the dirt road turned into blacktop Detroit City bound. Down that hillbilly highway. Highway goes on and on. saved his money so that one day he might sing. My old man off to college to use his brains and not his hands. Grandmama cried when she waved goodbye, never heard such a lonesome sound. Daddy had himself a good job in Houston, one more rolling down, down that hillbilly highway. Hillbilly highway. Granddaddy rolled over in his grave the day that I quit school. Just sat around the house playing my guitar. Daddy said I was a fool. My mama cried when I said goodbye. I never heard such a lonesome sound. I'm standing on this highway, and if you're going my way, you know where I'm bound. Down that hillbilly highway.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. That's John Ballantyne's Crazy Heart and Steve Earle's Hillbilly Highway. You'll be playing that at 8 o'clock, or roughly around then, Saturday, January 14th at Fitzgerald's in Berwyn, my hometown, a great hillbilly town. Used to be, until they started buying up all the bungalows. But tell us, you had a story about towns in that song?
No, that was... in relation to the original, that if we get time to do it. But I can tell you briefly that I was living back in Scotland, and out of the blue, there was an announcement. It was a local newspaper at that time. It was pre-internet and whatnot. It was a show in the closest town, and it's Towns Van Zandt. And I almost fell off the couch because I'm like, that doesn't happen in Scotland. So I called up the people who were promoting it, and I asked, is this like an impersonator? Is it like a Elvis impersonator talent? No, we've got him, we've got him. So I went down to see the show, and I think probably I felt great inspiration, and I was very honored to be in the great man's presence. But other than Gus Noe here, I've never seen anyone so drunk.
Yeah.
It was astonishing. And maybe more about that.
I saw one of his last shows in Chicago. I can't remember the name of the venue. It was up on Lincoln Avenue, north up by the Golden Apple and stuff. And there were like 20 people in the audience. I mean, he was real late. Wow. And he was a mess.
Yeah.
He was just, but I interviewed him a couple times. He was born and grew up in Barrington, northwest suburbs of here.
Really?
I mean, Texas guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. And,
wow.
That, I want to, wasn't on my list of questions, but you were talking about Scotland and the image of cowboys and all that. And when I've done highways and I've done Route 66 a few times, and you meet foreigners, and they're just impressed by how big this country is. Europe's not that big. What was your image back home, all you guys, of the landscape of the states, and how did that jive with when you arrived here? And I'm thinking of Texas, just what a big state Texas is, and just how did that come together?
One of the things I've learned, Dave, since I've gotten really old, is that I'm not that smart, I'm not that clever, and the interesting thing, it takes some intelligence to know that, so I take some solace in that fact. But, The truth of the matter is that we grew up on American television. Yeah. That's what we were fed on a daily basis. So I believed all that stuff. I believed the Little House on the Prairie, and I believed everyone drove a Cadillac.
Right.
And that this was the
everybody was wealthy.
Everybody was wealthy,
right.
And all I had to do was get here. So
interesting. Yeah.
My ticket here was I joined the Merchant. It's called the Merchant Navy over there, Merchant Marine, and I landed in Houston. My first trip, and something went wrong with the ship's engine, and they had to put it in dry dock. Oh dear. So I found myself in Houston with like 2 months of like nothing to do. And I just got myself out, heard the music, got lost a few times on the way back, and fell in love with the whole idea of the country and the music that I heard down in Houston at that time, which was pretty, I mean, Jerry Jeff and all of that.
True. And it's such a great regionalism.
Great time.
Scotland's very different now insofar as its feeling about country music.
Yeah,
you know, when we were growing up, if you weren't playing country, it was almost the kind of opposite trajectory that Steve went on, where he went from country to rock. Well, if we weren't playing rock, then you'd get booed off for playing country, you know. So, but these days, I think people in Scotland realize and see the migration of Scottish music through the foothills and Appalachian,
right.
Various other places, and its influence on country music and then rock and roll and so on. So Scotland, I think, is finding its own confidence and its own identity in music.
I brought some notes in. I interviewed him in July of 1986, you know, and he was really, the record labels were putting him into rock music clubs, you know, and
right.
He was playing the Roxy in Los Angeles and stuff. Steve was, and people didn't know what to make of that. It was about the same time as Dwight Yoakam, and
right.
You know. But
mm-hmm.
there was this whole blend of these country guys going into rock clubs, and
mm-hmm.
I think Steve really enjoyed that. You know,
and still does.
He likes bending rules a little bit.
Absolutely, and
I think back to
Gram Parsons who legitimized the whole thing. You know, it's we can do country, and we don't have to be Nashville.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Steve run with that and did a great job.
Here's one thing he told me. In Nashville, this is 86. In Nashville, we have a tendency to go ahead one way or back the other, and the real future of country music has been missed. Yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
Pretty interesting. Heather, how'd you hook up? And you're not from Scotland.
But her name is Heather.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right. So, you know, well, I was just walking down the street, and they stopped by and said, hey, you look like you can sing harmony. And actually... a mutual friend kind of connected us together, and I think that was in November. So this is brand new.
Really?
But, you know, it just felt so good from the start. I'm just having a blast.
And Heather used to play in a band with our drummer, Leslie Wall Santos, and
mm-hmm.
the mutual friend was the great Scott Herschler from Joe Quality Studios.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does wonderful.
And what band was that?
Rayflower.
Okay.
It was years and years ago.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Okay. And did you grow up around country music? I heard the Emmy Lou thing. But
I really didn't.
Uh-huh.
I really didn't. But just in being with the band for this short amount of time, I've learned so much, really. It's incredible as far as country music and, yeah.
Now, June, can you do a short little reading?
I asked you
to do a reading because I want people to get a feel of what's going to happen
right.
at Fitzgerald. So,
right.
I mean, are they going to play? Is it going to be a reading?
It's going to be back and forth.
Back
a
and
bit.
Forth.
Yeah, but this is from the great country memoir by Dana Jennings called Sing Me Back Home, Love, Death, and Country Music. And he's answering the question, what is country music? And he says this. Is crazy arms and cold, cold hearts. Heartaches by the number and setting the woods on fire. It's the wreck of the old 97, a wreck on the highway, and that honky-tonk angel who made a wreck out of you. It's waltzing across Texas in thrall to the Tennessee waltz and the Kentucky waltz, seeing the light, preaching, praying, singing, and hearing mother pray. It's the great speckled bird and the bird of paradise that flies up your nose. It's pistol packing mamas and daddies that walk the line and being your own grandpa It's Mountain Dew, White Lightning, and Whiskey Rivers. It's slipping around backstreet affairs and dim lights, thick smoke and loud, loud music. It's 6 days on the road, 16 tons, and being busted. It's waiting for a mystery train, the Wabash Cannonball, and the Orange Blossom Special.
Fantastic. We could do a whole 6 days on the road. Now you got me thinking about Dave Dudley. We could do a whole show on truck driving. Do you guys like truck driving music?
Yeah.
Well, you're a bass player. You probably like those vocals. And it's great stuff. What do you guys think about country music today? I know Alan Jackson, I saw that when he walked out of the CMAs because Beyonce was singing. But what do you think of the status of country music today, and how does that affect you, you know, getting gigs and stuff?
I think I would have walked out maybe two. And I don't know if it's to do with me aging a little bit, but I look at what they're churning out, and I don't recognize it as country music. I think it's kind of soft pop, even not even rock. With a cowboy hat, but they found a formula. They're making money with it, so they're going to keep doing it. I think the good news is that not everyone buys into it. The good stuff is out there. It's just that you have to dig a little bit to find it. I think the internet radios, to forgive me, but the internet radio stations, they're out there. Uh-huh. In every location, and you can find some. There's some really great stuff. Younger guys are writing really quality, what feels more country to me. Todd Schneider. I mean, why is Todd Schneider not huge? Yeah. It's just a great songwriter.
So as far as the commercial country, there's always people like Casey Musgraves and Ashley Monroe, and even Eric Church, who's a rabble in his own way. Mm-hmm. Or Sam Hunt is among the more newer ones, I suppose.
I do like Casey Musgraves stuff.
There's a few out there.
You know, when Americana emerged, I was kind of excited about it. I went to the first couple of conferences. I did a panel down there and stuff. But even Americana's, over the years, I haven't been to one of those conferences in Nashville, but it's almost like preaching to the choir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you guys, it seems like you might be able to find a niche in Americana, the genre, or what's your take on Americana?
Well, I think, you know, like John, I probably would have walked out of that show awards as well, but not because of Beyonce. She would have been one of the things that kept me there. You know, I think any art form, any culture needs to kind of evolve, and the way it evolves is by challenging itself. And Steve Earle was exactly right when he said the future, you know, isn't there. It's you know, the Americana really needs to reach out, find its own confidence from its own past, but also set its own future because of outside influences, truth. You know, the heart of any good music in any culture is simplicity itself, and that is the beauty of Americana, that anybody can relate to it and find their own truth at different levels on something.
And it's so eclectic too, of course.
Yeah,
it could be anything you want it to be.
Yeah, yeah. That.
Better or worse.
I wrote that down when you were doing the Guy Clark song. I mean, in that, when you did the Guy Clark song, there was such humility and warmth in that song.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really does resonate with
people. Find their own truth and have their own kind of narrative to it.
Yeah. How many Steve Earle songs do you guys know?
Two.
No. You're a funny guy.
It's going to be a short show.
All right. See you next Saturday night.
No. Here's the way it's going to work. On Saturday, we have June doing the readings.
But Andrew during the readings. Andrew. Yeah.
Oh, Andrew's doing them?
Yeah, I'm doing the poem. I'm doing the introduction and a poem, a country poem. And that's
and then the Mr. Noble is doing an acoustic set of a whole ton of Steve Earle songs.
I'm trying to do things from kind of throughout his career, starting with Guitar Town and going right up to his most recent stuff.
Good.
And then we're going to get the whole band up, and I don't know, it'll depend how time is, how people are, but we will play probably between 6 and 8 Steve songs.
Great. We're going to take one more break here from some spots, and you're going to play us off with another Steve Earle song. Is that right? Does that sound good?
Yes, it does.
Okay, we'll be back. Don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
1, 2, 3. Got
got a job in near enough. A $20,000 pickup truck belongs to me in the bank. Some funny talking man from my ring. I left the service, got a GI loan. I got married by my civil home. Now I hang around, just want to stand, do the best I can. Getting tough, just my love. I was born in a land of plenty, not rain enough. Getting cold, I've been told. Nowadays it just don't pay to be a good old boy. Going nowhere on a one-way track. I'd kill or leave it, there ain't no turn back. Got the wife and the kids, and what would everybody say? My brother's standing on the welfare line, and in a minute now I might get mine. But meanwhile it's our arrest and the devil to pay. Getting tough, just my love. I was born in a land of plenty, not rain enough. Getting cold, I've been told. Well, nowadays it just don't pay to be a good old boy. I hit the beer joints every Friday night. Spend a little money looking for a fight. It don't matter if I lose or win, 'cause Monday I'll be back on that losing side again. Getting tough, just my love. I was born in a land of plenty, not rain. Getting cold, I've been told. Well, nowadays it just don't pay to be a good old boy. Getting tough, just my luck. Getting cold, I've been told.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal, and that's John Ballantyne's Crazy Heart with Gus Noble on bass and Heather Colmer on harmonies, and John Ballantyne, and you'll be hearing that song, I assume.
I hope so.
On 8 o'clock on Saturday, January 14th at Fitzgerald's, Guitar Town, the music of Steve Earle, Fitzgerald's, and the Phantom Collective.
Yes, we're co-sponsoring it with Fitzgerald's.
That's great. That's right. Great. So tell me how people can find out more about you guys, especially Dan and I want to go to the next Save More gig.
Hey.
I know Nisei Lounge is just getting too fancy. So tell us how people can stay in touch with you guys.
Website, www.crazyheartmusic.com. Also, you can find us on Facebook, John Ballantyne's Crazy Heart. We try to, and we succeed at, keeping our website totally up to date. So all our shows are on the website. There's a calendar up there. We list the times, the places, there's a little map. You have no excuse. You got to come see.
And you'll have to come back, because we did want to do a you do original material. Do you have any CDs? Yeah. Or you got anything? How can you hear original songs?
On the website, the whole CD is available through SoundCloud. The CD is original material. There's only three covers. There's a John Prine song, a Merrill song, and
Grievous Angel. Streets of Baltimore.
Streets of Baltimore.
Streets of Baltimore. That's
we should really listen to the CD and figure So Shriek covers, the rest are mainly written by me. Gus definitely helps. The band arranges them. But
John's been very modest. The songs are real killer songs. They evoke the same type of things as John Prine does, and that kind of truth and that honesty is kind of apparent in his music.
I love your road trip story. Going down to paradise, and June, real quick, what's going on with you? You and I stay in touch.
Just working on various projects on so many levels, and too many deadlines.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you all for coming in tonight. Thanks to John Ballantyne's Crazy
thank you.
Heart.
Thanks
to all our listeners for listening. Thanks to Aubrey Mumpower for helping with the sound, and thanks to Dan Long for the production. And we'll see you next week on Nocturnal Journal. We have Chip Taylor singing Wild Thing. So we're excited about that.
Wow.
So see you next week.